Let's talk about laps led. This is way too early of a physics lesson by someone who is not a physicist. Passing the leader isn't happening without help. We know that watching the test, we know that watching the Michigan Xfinity race from last year with the package, we know that watching the All-Star race from last year. The clean air is just too much of an advantage, and we know this from just typical plate racing as well. The question is then, will there always be clean air? At Dega, the pack never really catches traffic. And when they rarely do catch traffic, the speed difference between the cars running the lead pack and the couple guys tailing behind, it's so much different that the lappers basically have to acquiesce to the lead pack and get the hell out of the way. Now, if the track spreads out, and that's possible. It is an intermediate track. This is a new package. It's not as restrictive as we've seen with the restrictor plates at Daytona and Talladega. And we've got 40 cars on a 1.5-mile track. We could see people spread out, especially people who don't want to run up to the front. We saw this kind of in practice, people kind of laying back, just hanging with the pack. Well, that pack could spread out. Then what we could see at some point is the lead cars are going to run into traffic. And the speed difference between the guys on the end lap and the guys on the front of the lap, it's not going to be that much different. We're not talking about a 20-car freight train running, barreling towards a couple cars at the end of the lap. We're talking about three or four cars running into three or four cars, all of them with 550 horsepower restricted engines, not a huge difference between the two. The lap cars don't necessarily need to get out of the way. And those lap cars could make the leader's life a living hell. We always see this. We see the lead car always having to battle with lappers. But in those cases, the lead car was so much faster than a lapper, not a problem. And at the same time, the problem that the lead car dealt with, for the most part, the second, the third, the fourth place car also dealt with that problem. Now we know that there's a couple times where Ryan Newman decides to block the leader and let the second place car by. We've all seen that situation play out. But let's say all things being equal, let's not go into the specifics of people just being jerks and just got to try not to curse at times. Anyway, moving forward, this is a huge, it was a disadvantage for the lead car and the old package to run into traffic. But it was also a disadvantage for everybody else. With the new package, the leader has such an unfair advantage that we've seen in clean air. It is impossible to pass the leader when these cars are all maxed out full throttle and the front car is running in the clean air that's aerodynamically pinning the car to the traffic perfectly, and the second place trailing car is dealing with a little bit of the dirty air, which is cutting down on its handling a little bit, plus the fact that it has to pass, which means it has to somehow go faster than the lead car. Even if the trailing car had great aerodynamics as well, basic physics and basic science is going to tell you that second car has to run somehow faster than the first car. Well, that's difficult to do when they're all mapped or all maxed out. And you could say, well, they can get a run because they're running in the, they're going to slingshot. We haven't really seen a lot of the slingshot engage in testing. Maybe that's a possibility that someone's going to figure out, but we haven't quite seen that yet. Either way, it's hard for the second place car to get past that first place car, because that's just racing. But it's even worse because of the clean air advantage. Well, once that first place car runs into that new lap traffic, that huge advantage, boom, gone, evaporates, puff, gone in the night. The test didn't show us this, but we didn't have a lot of cars on the track, 14 cars on the track. We didn't get to see people spread out and run through traffic. We didn't get to see this in the All-Star race because everyone ran in tight packs, very similar to Daytona. Plus, you had very short stages, so there was never going to be an opportunity where cars could spread out on a longer run. So what theoretically could happen is the leader is going to lose his invincibility during these long green runs where they catch up with traffic. And at that point, the leader is going to lose that advantage, and he's going to be equal to the second, third, and fourth place car. Second place car could pass him outright, but if the second and third place car somewhat work together, then the leader is going to get passed pretty easily. And we could see a lot of back and forth as people navigate through traffic, because we know that in traffic, there's all kinds of passes. If you watch the test and if you watch IROC, maybe it's tough to pass the leader, but in traffic, people are zooming by each other left and right. once the leader runs into traffic, he is no longer in clean air and he is in traffic, and we get the leapfrogging and the moving around, and this thing turns into a crazy mess. Well, not a mess, because it's pretty exciting. Or a mess if you were the driver that was leading. Let's throw another a wrench into the problem. What am I even trying to say? I don't even know. It's too early. So with the new package, the unfair advantage that we talked about, that could be lost. Now, we don't know for sure because of the test didn't really show us this. These are just, again, things that we're assuming. But what happens during pit cycling? What's going to happen? I'm really trying to wrap my mind around pit cycling because this could be crazy. In the past, if the leader, we pit cycle at the end of a green flag run, 30 laps or so. The leader, as long as they cycle with the pack, they don't try to go a couple laps too long or a couple laps too early or whatever. As long as you basically pit with the group of cars on the lead lap, then you're likely going to retain the lead. Even if someone stays out, eventually the cycles run through and the guy that was the leader before, like a Kevin Harvick, ends up going back into the lead. You see a couple laps in between, like a Brad Keselowski comes out and leads 15 laps and someone leads for 2 laps. But when all things get set and everyone's gone through their cycles, Harvick's back in the front. That's going to change. I think that's going to change a lot. Let's play this out. The lead car pits on a green cycle, okay? You're pitting in. Then he comes back out. Well, guess what? He comes back out into traffic. He's open game to be passed now. Let's say the first and second place car pit, they both come out. Well, guess what? You just came back out into dirty air. So the first place car, even though he's not first anymore, he would be first at the end of a cycle, but the would be first place car and the would be second place car after the end of the cycle, now they're even, and that would be second place car can easily pass the first place car and then become the would be first place car once the cycles are over. In the past, when you came back out into dirty air, it didn't really matter because this dirty air wasn't the huge advantage that it was. It wasn't this huge, ginormous advantage. It wasn't the only thing that was holding the second place car. The reason that you were the leader in the past was because you had the best car. Now the reason you're the leader is because you were the leader and no one can pass you. It's not because your car's better or you really have much better skill. It's because you were simply in first place and no one could get by you. In the past, when Kevin Harvick was leading, it was because he had the fastest car in the corners. He had the best car, and so when the cycling came back out, he would still be the fastest car, and he would be able to retain his lead, and people weren't going to pass him because his car was still better. Now, once you've pitted through, you come through dirty air, you're no longer the best car on the track, and people can pass you. And if there is a cycling that goes through, and finally the lead comes back around to the guys that should be leading, who's to say that you are still leading? The test showed that passing the pack in the dirty air is easy. When you green flag pit cycle, you're going to go into dirty air. When the leader pits, he's going back into dirty air. He's diving in. He's getting in the mud. He's basically saying, this advantage that I have, this cloak of invincibility, it's probably invincibility, not really invisibility. We can see them. Invincibility, well, I'm going to throw that all away. Go get fresh tires because I love fresh tires and fuel. Well, you wouldn't even care. You would rather have old tires and the air advantage. But you got to get fuel at some point. So once you finally go in and get fuel, it's basically saying, great. I was basically, I was on steroids before. Now I've given it away. It's like I was the Hulk. And now it's like, you know what? I'm going to go race as Bruce Banner. That's basically what was going to happen when they go back into dirty. Unless somehow, at an intermediate track, we're able to retain this giant pack of cars like we see at Daytona and Talladega. But those are 2.5 mile tracks where you have to stay bunched up. I don't think you're going to see it. I don't believe it. I know it's really too early. But as someone pointed out, like, hey, man, it's a little early to make some of these guesses. And I get it. I know it's too early, but it's always going to be too early because there's no more tests. And in practice, I don't know if we're really going to see anything more than what we've already seen. So you got to make your mind up now. When Atlanta comes, that's where you got to know what you're going to do, what decision you're going to make, because that's it. It's always going to be too early until it actually happens. No one's going to come out and say, here is how it's going to happen. Maybe you're going to get some wiser minds, some engineers, some broadcasters that know what the hell they're talking about. They're going to come out and explain to us exactly what's going to happen. That would be great. Don't know if we're going to get that. If we don't get that, then you need to make up your mind now because there isn't going to be any more information. It's just guessing. It's going to have to be early decisions. We'll probably see some drivers understand this, and we already have seen drivers want to stretch fuel and realize that they can't compete with the leaders, and so they stay out in the past. Well, now you've got an even car, so it makes sense that, well, you're not a huge disadvantage. You can compete with Kevin Harvick, so pit with Kevin Harvick, but not really, because the cars are even. The driver's skills are even. What tends to matter is going to be track position. So that's what you sacrifice for. So you're going to want to stay out, and we're going to see plenty of guys stay out. In the past, we didn't always see a lot of guys stay out because not a lot of guys could stay out. Half of the field was already a lap down. 10 other cars were barely on the lead lap. They weren't really in a position to play games. We'd see one or two, usually Austin Dillon and Ryan Newman, because they knew they had no effing chance in the world at winning the race. So they would go out and say, well, maybe this week I get the caution and I got a chance at winning or finishing with the top five. And they would stay out. And I don't believe it ever worked out for them last year, but it could work out. Well, but now, and you only got a couple guys that would try to do that. Now, you've got 25 cars on the lead lap with a legitimate chance at winning the race because the cars are all the same. And everyone's looking for their own little advantage or their own little edge. And we know that the edge, we know that the advantage is running in clean air and having the lead. So why not stay out? Hell, you might put the leader a lap down. We don't even know if they're going to be able to make it through to catch up the front, like in the past. So you're on old tires, you're stretching it, and let's say Kevin Harvick pits, he gets fresh tires and he's zooming through, and eventually he's going to catch up to you. Well, how much is he going to be able to zoom through and catch up with you when he's dealing with traffic of cars that are basically running the same speed as him? And how much fall off is there? Are they really going to be able to make up the lap and then run down the leader? And even if they do run down the leader, will they be able to pass the leader? Maybe if there's dirty air all over the track, it happens, but it's craziness. It is really craziness. What's going to happen with laps? We knew fast laps. We've got a pretty good idea. I don't want to go ahead and say it's certain, but the initial data that we've seen from AS Manis, you should follow him on Twitter, data analytics company, does work for RCR. The data shows that Brad Keselowski, practice 3 Thursday night, probably one of the more interesting practices to watch. You can look at Jeff Gluck's Twitter feed. He's got the Periscope video if you want to watch it. Brad Keselowski pretty much leads the entire time. No one can pass him in clean air. Finally, Kyle Busch gets by him, bullies his way through. I talked about this on the podcast the other day, but Keselowski was a leader. If you look at the data, Keselowski's lap speeds were middle of the pack. In the past, there wasn't a 100% P51 correlation. I don't know. I'm not a statistician. But there wasn't a perfect correlation between laps led and fast laps, but there was a pretty strong connection. If you were leading the most laps most often, you were also running the most fast laps. Now, not in every single lap, but for the most part, laps led correlated with fast laps. That's how the whole hog thing worked. We look at the practice data from Thursday night. Brad Keselowski leads the most laps, but in terms of fast laps, he was middle of the pack. He was not running the fast laps. It was the guys in the middle of the pack who were catching drafts, who were sucking up, and just by tenths each time. And it's not a huge difference. It's not like we're saying, oh, Brad Keselowski, he's a slug out there. No, you look at the data and you can see, I mean, we're talking about tenths of a second difference. And tenths of a second of a difference, it's not that crazy for the cars in the back to be faster. Now, they may not pass him, but it could be any car on any lap that gets a suck up that's going to be just a tenth of a second faster on any given lap because all the cars are even because of this plate. You can look at the data and you'll just notice, man, Landon Castle is not too far away from these guys. That's pretty crazy. Now, of course, the big drivers are going to get faster, but everyone's going to get faster, and everyone's going to get faster in the draft, and the difference between these teams, I don't believe it's ever going to be that much. So we know fast laps, probably toast at these intermediate tracks. Not something that I'm necessarily going to chase at the moment, but now we have the question of what's going to happen with laps led. Are these toast? From the test, it looked like the leaders were going to be unbeatable. And it looked like, well, you got to get the guy that leads the most laps. And we did see that at Charlotte, but Charlotte's race, different package, different format of racing, the All-Star race, we're not going to see that. And I know, again, our eyes said that you can't pass the leader, but we didn't get to see more than a 15, 18 lap run with a field of 15 cars. What happens when we have a 40 lap run with 40 cars? What happens then? Will the leader be unbeatable? Will that happen? I think it's going to be the opposite. And you're like, wait, how could you say it's going to be the opposite? You just said they're unbeatable. We just witnessed with our own eyes. The leader could not be passed. Let's think about it. You're going to have some double file restarts, battles for the lead, because we know that it's so important to get in that clean air. The double file restarts in similar powered cars are going to be absolutely hairy. You're going to see people work together, and you're going to see people sabotage each other, and you're going to see frustration. Maybe not always at the beginning of the race, but at the end of the race, these double file restarts will be nuts, and leaders will change frequently. Just because you led the most laps in stage one, we get out into a double lap, double file restart in stage two, you're not just going to be guaranteed that like you were in the past. Kevin Harvick leads all of stage one at Atlanta in 2017, right? Does an excellent job. Looks like he's going to, at stage two, stage three, it continues. That continued because he had the best car. He had the best setup. Of course, he was going to continue to go on to lead laps. Just because you did well in stage one does not mean you're going to do well in stage two at all. Some people are going to take two tires. Some people are going to do all kinds of crazy fuel strategies just to get up to the front. Slow pit stops will absolutely murder you. You will not rebound from those. I mean, you can to a good finish, but you're likely never going to lead laps again. We've seen Kevin Harvick lead laps last year, and he make a mistake, but eventually we get back up there because his car was good, and he would lead more laps. He doesn't have that superpower now where if he makes a mistake, he's eventually going to get up there and lead laps. If you make a mistake, your chances of leading a lap are done, which means your hog point potential is done, which means if you put him on your team, you probably overpaid. One penalty will absolutely murder high-priced drivers. I'll repeat that. One penalty will absolutely murder high-priced drivers. In the past, because Busch and Truex and sometimes Larson and sometimes and all the time Kevin Harvick, they could have a penalty. They could rebound, and you were going to be okay because they had the car to get back up front. They can't get back up front now. One penalty, and you overpaid. Back to the leaders losing their edge. Again, the restart's going to be nuts. When the leaders enter dirty air, again, the edge evaporates. And that's the edge this year. The edge last year would be, I've got a better car. I've got more skill. I've got less off throttle, more on throttle time. That's the advantage that I'm going to use to win. Now the advantage is clean air. When the clean air evaporates, when it's all a cloud of dirty air from green flag to checkers wrapped around the track, then no one has an advantage. Everyone's in the same car. And we could just see leapfrog, slingshotting. Who knows who's in the lead? We could see the lead changing every stinking lap. It is quite possible. And then on the green flag runs, they're going to lose the lead. And there's no guarantee. And there wasn't a guarantee in the past that you're going to regain the lead on a pit cycle. It was very likely. Most often, if you didn't make a pit road mistake and you didn't pit too many laps late, you came back out, you eventually got the lead. Now, you pit, you come back out, you're in dirty air, you don't have an advantage. You're not just going to zoom your way up. You've now, again, your cloak of invincibility is gone and people can attack. The car that was behind you for 30 laps that could not get by you because you were in clean air, well, now that clean air is gone and he's going to whiz by you. And the third place car is going to whiz by you. That advantage you have is gone. And so when everyone does pit cycle, there's no guarantee that it comes back to you. It could be the guy that was behind you the whole time who passed you once we started pit cycling. Or it could be the guy who took two tires. And because his pit stop was 8 seconds compared to your 12 seconds, then he's now in the lead. And you can't do anything about it because all the cars are even and the tires aren't wearing out as much because we're not running as hard. Think about this, DFS players. We know fast laps are dead, or deadish, or dying, or not as significant. Maybe you're probably going too far saying they're dead. But are laps led dead too, or dying, or deadish, or on life support? Are we just going to pick top fives and top tens like this is fantastic? Is that what we were doing? Just try to get drivers that are going to finish near the top. you can't abandon laps led, but right now, I believe it's fair to downgrade laps led to some point. For all the reasons I mentioned in the podcast, that there's so many things that can happen. It's hard for me to imagine a driver leading every single lap, unless we get caution after caution after caution, and the guy leading the laps is a great restarter like Kyle Busch or Kurt Busch. Maybe. But even at some point, people are going to work together and probably shut them down. But I know it goes against what we saw in the testing session. If you watch the testing session, you think to yourself, look, there's going to be guys that just, you know, pretty much lead the shepherd, the shepherd leading the flock around the track nonstop. It's going to be a follow the leader. And we saw that in the All-Star race. But you have to look closer at the rules and the form of the All-Star race. You have to look closer at how many cars were in the track at the test and what was the stipulations of the test and the fact that both of these were exhibitions for nothing. And if you think about that, it maybe downgrades this idea, and I keep saying downgrade, but diminishes the idea that there's going to be one guy who runs away with it. I've already mentioned, when you run to clean air, that's all going to go out. When you pit cycle, that's all going to go out. The double file restarts. When we get 40 cars on a double file restart, that's going to put even more intense pressure on the lead lap car. You can't abandon laps led, not this early. We can't do that at the intermediate tracks. And we can't abandon the fast laps. But if I'm looking at the bell curve and I'm looking at the distribution of scores, I'm seeing in my mind a distribution of scores that looks very similar to Daytona to Talladega. I'm not seeing these outliers. I'm not seeing these guys that are two standard deviations away from the mean. I'm not seeing 150 points from Kevin Harvick or 200 points at Coca-Cola's 600 from Kyle Busch. Those leaders are going to get sucked closer to the field because they cannot pile up the laps led points. They cannot pile up the fast lap points. Sure, give them 46 finishing position points. But often these drivers don't get very many place differential points because they're already starting near the front. So they suffer from that, but they make up for it with laps led and fast laps. Those have been taken away. Those are going to spread out throughout the field. We see these often at the restrictor plate races. Now, I don't know if we're going to get the chaos that we get in restrictor plates with Daytona and Talladega, where it's just guys starting from the back and moving to the front, and the guys that get 30 place differential points are the ones that do the best. I don't see that as being severe, but we look at the fast lap distribution, we look at the laps led distribution, and we don't really have drivers that are getting over 70 fantasy points. DraftKings always is really weird about their salaries at the beginning of the year. Daytona, we can throw that out. But we go to Atlanta. Each year, we've seen them be very underpriced. And that's fine. If the drivers are underpriced going into the season, then we don't have to worry so much. If Kevin Harvick's in the $10,000 range and Kyle Busch is in the $10,000 range, then we don't really need to worry. You can feel comfortable about them being rostered and only leading a cycle or two or only running so many fast laps. You could be comfortable because they could get the finishing position points. But if we come into the season with the elevated salaries from last year where Kevin Harvick's in the 12s and Kyle Busch is in the 12s, I can't imagine spending $12,000 on a driver that can't lead laps or can lead laps, but you have no guarantee that you're going to get more than one cycle. And if the driver leads a cycle, that's 40 laps probably given this package. There's going to be less tire wear. So imagine it just comes down to how much fuel you can get in the car. But say that's 40 laps. That's 10 points. It's kind of hard to ignore, but it's easier to ignore when you spend $13,000 on a driver and you're only getting 10 points. Now, if a driver can manage to lead two cycles, then yeah, you've got to consider them. But I don't see any guarantees like in the past where I've got the best car. That means I'm probably going to lead most of the cycles. Now you don't have the best car. There's no guarantee that you're going to lead most of the cycles. I don't see it. Once you lose the lead, I don't see the guarantee that you're going to get back into it unless for some reason you're just really good at this style of racing. And we're going to see people that emerge that are really good at this style of racing. We've identified those guys, and sure, you can bump them up and say, hey, this guy could possibly lead two or three cycles. That's around 30 points, not really factored in the fast laps. I could use that. 30 laps, 30 points on top of 46 finishing position points if they finish first. That's, what, 70, 80-ish? I can't see them hit 90. I got them in the 70 to 80 range, which is good, but that's not the normal scores that we're accustomed to seeing at the intermediate track. 70, 80 points is fine if you're getting that from Austin Dillon. 70, 80 points at $12,000 from Kevin Harvick, that may not be in the optimal lineup. Now, it could work because you might get some cheap drivers that get big-time place differential points. So it's going to be really interesting to see how all of that plays out. Again, it's too early to make any definitive choices or strategies, But these are the ideas that you probably are going to want swirling your head at the intermediate track. Short tracks are going to be fine. The road races are going to be fine. No changes. We're only changing some of the tracks. Atlanta, Las Vegas, Fontana. We're going to make changes there. And you're going to make sure that you're not just building teams based on the way that it was in the past.